The Public News Service Daily Newscast, February the 23rd, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. With the economy stalling and millions of Americans still out of work because of the pandemic, Virginia housing advocates are urging Congress to quickly pass President Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package to bring relief to families being pushed into poverty.
The American Rescue Plan would expand unemployment benefits to September, provide $1,400 stimulus checks to most Americans, and give billions for emergency rental and utility assistance. Brian Koziel with the Virginia Housing Alliance says even before the pandemic, Richmond had the second highest eviction rate in the country, with four other Virginia cities in the top 10. He says it's crucial to pass the stimulus package before evictions and poverty get out of control.
Quite honestly, we just simply cannot face an eviction crisis and the resulting massive homelessness that would come out of that. Our system capacity is not there, and we just have to keep people stably housed.
Republican leaders opposing the package say it's far too expensive and its unemployment assistance would influence people not to work. Research shows most Americans support the bill. A vote is expected on Friday. I'm Diane Bernard.
More than 467,000 residents, or 8.5% of adults in Virginia, said their households did not have enough to eat in the previous week. That's according to U.S. Census data. The BBC reports President Joe Biden addressed the nation as the U.S. marks 500,000 deaths from COVID, the most for any country in the world. During the ceremony, Biden said, "As a nation, we can't accept such a cruel fate. We have to resist becoming numb to the sorrow." The president, vice president, and their spouses then observed a moment of silence outside the White House during a candle lighting ceremony. The BBC notes that more than 28.1 million Americans have been affected. That's another global record. And at a marathon hearing over Zoom Monday, hundreds of people put in their two cents on whether Connecticut should allow early in-person voting and no-excuse absentee ballots.
Last year, the state allowed voters to claim fear of COVID-19 as an excuse to get an absentee ballot on a temporary basis. State Representative Matthew Blumenthal says voting should be as convenient as possible.
Every instance in which someone who would like to vote is prevented either by logistical difficulties or the difficulty of obtaining an absentee ballot, that is a fundamental violation of the integrity of our electoral system.
Opponents such as Dominic Rapini with the group Fight Voter Fraud questioned the legitimacy of mail-in ballots. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Even if they do pass a legislature, the issues still would need to get voters' approval in 2022. This is PNS. Public employees are letting Montana lawmakers know the importance of their jobs and their unions. More on that from Eric Tiganoff.
Legislators have targeted unions with several measures, including a bill prohibiting the automatic deduction of dues from employees' paychecks. Michelle Wheat is with the Montana Department of Transportation.
Whether it be our construction crews or our snowplow drivers, unions make sure that we have a voice at the table and we can ensure that we keep our jobs.
Lawmakers also have introduced Senate Bill 228, which would bar public employees from rejoining a union for a year if they drop out.
Minnesota lawmakers could soon revisit debate on whether to allow medically assisted dying for terminally ill patients. Supporters point to changes in public support as they push to provide the option of a peaceful death for those who request one.
A legislative proposal introduced this week would allow an adult, given less than 6 months to live, the opportunity to request and self-administer life-ending medication. Minneapolis resident Lenore Keibel says she wishes Minnesota law had that option when her husband, who had been suffering from ALS, died in 2019. She feels the option has received an unfair characterization in public discourse.
This is not suicide. This is a comfortable and dignified way to, you know, finish the inevitable.
Supporters point to growing public support, including a recent Gallup poll noting that 72% of Americans endorse the idea. That's 6 percentage points higher than in 1990. Opponents cite concerns such as coercion by family members and mistakes in medical care. I'm Mike Moen.
Currently, 9 states in Washington, D.C. allow medical aid in dying. Finally, Lily Boelke lets us know a decade-long partnership in Kansas City is lifting up local stories of black community building and struggles for justice and equity.
The Kansas City Public Library, the Black Archives of Mid-America, and the Kansas City Local Investment Commission, or LINC, have produced a book of these stories collected over a decade. In an introductory essay, Dr. Carmelita Williams of the Black Archives writes of when, quote, Black Kansas Cityans sat up, sat in, kicked down doors, and broke through glass ceilings. From obtaining civil and human rights and educations for their children to health care and fire and police protection.
We're living in what has traditionally been a Black history drought. So this then gives a boost, illuminating the life and culture and history of Black people in this area.
The partnership commissioned a poem from Glenn North, the poet laureate of the 18th and Vine Historic Jazz District. It's called I Sing Their Names. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and online at publicnewsservice.org.